In Bed with Tom Torero, podcast number 5. Hello from my sick bed, full of phlegm, full of snot, and yet forever diligent in my promise to bring you one podcast a week. So here it is. Forgive the roughness of my presentation, but I plough on nevertheless. And this podcast is all about a controversial topic, but an exciting topic, and that is fast escalation, doing things the quick way, dramatically crashing the car, seeing how fast you can go, and whether it's the right way, whether it is long-term the right thing to do, even though it looks cool and it sounds cool and the stories are always better. Let's talk about fast escalation, but before that, I want to remind you that my flagship product, the Badass Buddha, that's 6 hours of the contents of my head dumped into seminar format. It's an online video product. It's available once again. It was taken down by the original host because somebody complained. Can you believe it? The guy who bought it complained that it was too sexual. So it was taken down. I re-uploaded the videos to a new platform, which is a lot easier anyway. It's a lot more streamlined with PayPal. And it's available now if you go to the website by clicking below, tomtorero.com, and click on Badass Buddha to read more about the contents. And in Badass Buddha, I do go through some fast escalation and the one date model. In particular, I talk about physical escalation and escalating the vibe and why the central theme of seduction is like fishing. If you imagine keeping tension on a line, and the aim of seduction is to keep optimum sexual tension. So to know when to pull and to know when to reel out. Because if you pull, the line's going to snap. And if you just don't pull at all, then that fish is going to swim away. And that's really what calibration is over time, over the years, sensing when you need to pull and when you need to let go. So it's the balance between badass, which is the pull, and Buddha, which is the letting go. But in particular today, we're going to be talking about the pulling bit of it, the pull. And like I just said, certainly if you're a beginner and you pull, what happens? Well, the line snaps or your hands hurt on the rod because the fish is thrashing around. Might be a big fish, hopefully not a fat girl. You're not used to it. It feels weird. It feels awkward. Everybody's looking at you. The fish is panicking and flipping around and it falls off the hook or the line snaps. So the message that's obvious about fast escalation, i.e. hitting on a girl, trying to pull her as quickly as you can, is that it's high risk, obviously high reward. So it's high reward because the stories you get out of it, certainly the success stories, the lay reports are amazing. Like sleeping with a girl in under 10 minutes, pulling her into a park, pulling her into a toilet, instant makeouts, street makeouts, crazy stories of eye date fucks in random places. In the day, they're even more impressive than in the nighttime because the night model, which I do love and which is promoted by decent companies like Real Social Dynamics, RSD, they focus on fast escalation, obviously, physical escalation, same night lays, because you're dealing with drunk girls in loud clubs who are up for it. You're filtering hard by mass approaching often, RSD style, and going from girl to girl to girl, trying this fast escalation, getting her out of the club and sleeping with her that night. Whereas in the day, instinctively, you think, well, it's the daytime, you know, and she's on her way to uni, or she's just out and about doing a bit of shopping, and people are watching, and you can't be sexual during the day. What are people going to think? She's not that kind of girl. Day game's just for good girls. It's only the bad girls that go to clubs. These are very common things you hear about day game. But in the Badass Buddha, I talk a lot about the secret society. That is the things that go on during the day that you would be shocked as a nice beta guy. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the population of nice beta guys would be shocked to hear. Like me in Oslo, pulling a girl off the street and fucking her in a house 15 minutes later, or sleeping with that girl on the ferry boat, or like I said, sleeping with girls in toilets soon after meeting them. And these are girls that have boyfriends back at home, or religious girls, girls from other faiths, Muslim girls I've picked up in Turkey or Egypt, who logically, sociologically, you would just say, well, they're not sexual and you can't escalate hard. Many guys have issues about this. I get many emails actually about Turkish girls and girls from Iran and guys going mental saying, well, it's all right for an American girl in a club, but that would never work in Tehran. And then the truth of the secret society is revealed. Last year I dated a beautiful Iranian girl, and she was one of the most wildly sexual girls I've ever met. She was what I call a pressure cooker girl, in that the more restrained girls are by society or religion or their family, the more mental they go when they meet a guy who's offering them adventure sex, lover sex, rather than boyfriend sex. So it's that sexual tension built up over time, which explodes nicely in your favour when you meet these kind of girls. So don't be fooled by the daytime vibe. Don't be fooled by the fact that she's carrying a pile of books. And like I was, don't be fooled by cultures that seem conservative or places where you assume you can't escalate quickly. And a good example of this is where I am right now, Russia. And many guys, certainly even famous guys that write travel books on game, have always said, you can't do sexual day game in Russia or the former Soviet Union. You can't do same day days. You can't do street to instant date to make out to lays, because quote unquote the girls are just not like that. You know, the girls are good girls, and there is some truth in this, or certainly that belief system can be explained if you're doing the kind of day game which is the old model, if you like, the old blueprint of day game, which was nice guy day game. So running up, giving her a compliment, and presenting yourself as a nice guy who is dateable. You have a good education, you have a car, you're polite, you can meet her mum, you want to go on 10 dates, you want to walk around the park with her holding hands, and after a couple of months, yep, she will be your girlfriend, and you'll be dating her at a cost, yeah, a cost of time, investment, and you essentially not being honest with what you want. Whereas in the last couple of years, the day game model has evolved into what we have now, the new London day game model, which is a lot faster and a lot dirtier. In the Badass Buddha, I say, as Krauser and I always quote, day game is dirtier than night game. Okay, because you're walking down the street, a girl gives you a flash of eye contact, you acknowledge it. That's the secret society invitation. You go in, you're talking about very normal things, but you're talking slowly with a deep voice. You're looking at her deeply in the eye. You're holding her hand. And then 20 minutes later, you're making out with her in Starbucks. And an hour later, she's on your bed. And she's a very good girl who's flown over from an Islamic country. That's an example of day game being dirty and the secret society existing and going on all around you. And men simply don't know about this stuff. And what we've discovered through trial and error is that, yeah, the old saying is true, that the faster you can sleep with a girl, the better. The faster you can sleep with her, the better, because it puts you in the lover box, not the boyfriend box. It's a whirlwind effect in that she's caught up in the moment. There's that pressure cooker release effect where she might be gagging for it. It might be the middle of the month and you've caught her at that ovulating horny window and you've got a very small amount of time to do this in. So you get this rush of experience when she's caught up in the pickup and it works. You get less flakes, obviously, because you're trying to do it all in one go. And it's good practice for you. It's good practice for establishing this polarity, keeping the sexual tension, and connecting with this raw animalistic desire inside you. And like I said, it is uncomfortable. Like pulling really hard on a fishing line, it is uncomfortable, and a lot of guys don't do it. Or, here's the important point about today's podcast, they do it wrongly. Because it looks so tempting, doesn't it, when you see the RSD videos or you see some fast pulls from the daytime. I've just put up a street to cafe to bounce home in field on YouTube, on my channel, and it looks so fun because guys instinctively think, well, that's great, it's going to save me time, it's better for me because it's fast sex, so I'm going to go out and try it. And guys go out and they're very verbally direct, physically direct, they're emulating nightclub game on the street, they're grabbing her, or they're escalating really hard in the cafe, and the girl walks away, or the girl runs away, or the girl gives you the number and then flakes. And guys are really confused because they saw it on YouTube or they read about it. It instinctively sounds right, and yet it was uncalibrated because they lacked the experience of doing it subtly. So the massive health warning about this podcast is that before you can be the sexual ninja, you have to be the social ninja. You have to learn all the social skills. You have to look normal, appear normal, talk normally, and be calibrated to the situation to make girls feel comfortable. Only then can you start pushing it harder. It's like riding motorbikes, you know. You start with the little ones, the mopeds, and you move up and you move up and you move up until eventually you're riding very fast bikes at very high speed around very tight corners and you don't fall off. You know where the edge is. You lean into the edge and it's okay. But if you just got on a super bike straight away and released the throttle, then God knows what would happen. And this is what was happening about 4 years ago, I think, in London, when a craze went around the seduction community based on a book by a man called Alan Roger Curry. And that book was entitled Mode One, Let Women Know What You Really Think. And it was all about being very verbally direct during the day. And it's a very good book. And I still believe in the philosophy of it, the underlying message of it, which is essentially don't hide your dick. Such a simple piece of advice, but with massive implications. Don't hide your dick. Let a girl know what you really think. He's very verbal about it. He breaks it down into four modes of communication. So mode one, the first mode, is saying what you think, being upfront, being unapologetic, being honest, being self-assured, being confident, being cocky. And yep, women absolutely love it. Mode two, which is what most of the seduction community's in. It's the kind of beta thing of being pleasant, being nice, being polite, being cautious. You are, as he says, beating around the bush, quite literally. But it does get you laid, but it takes longer. That describes the old form of day game, the old model of day game. Mode three, which game is set up to preach against, is where the guy is cowardly. He's deceptive, he's phony, he lies to women, he completely hides his dick, he tries to weasel his way in. That's what we call snake seduction. That's the fake DJ or the fake club promoter or the entourage stuff or taking up salsa or just bullshitting your way. And yeah, it can get you laid, but it takes ages and ages and ages. And the girls don't like you for it. And the last mode, mode four, which you encounter on internet forums, is resentful guys, vindictive guys, really negative guys about not only women, but about life and about men. And that's certainly not where you want to be. So anyway, this book went around, it was passed around, everybody read it, and we all hit the streets about 4 years ago and tried to say really direct things to women without any buffer, without any comfort, without any, at the time I was completely uncalibrated. And we didn't have success with it. And there's no real YouTube in fields of anybody using just this approach alone, just direct verbal game alone. So even though the philosophy of the book is good and the message of the book is good, it's very dangerous, I think, for beginners to take it up. Because, as I always say, verbal is the poor man's non-verbal. Now, Alan Roger Curry quite rightly challenges that when beginners say that, because he says that when a beginner says he's doing non-verbal game, using his eyes and what have you, he's just putting off being verbally direct. He's a coward, and he thinks he's doing kind of cheeky sexual tension game, when in fact he's just avoiding telling girls that he has a dick. So for a beginner, it's a cop-out, it's an excuse, and I agree. But when you've been in this long enough, you realize that the creme de la creme is non-verbal game. It's escalating the vibe sexually, actually without saying anything. The best seducers I know, they use, as I talk about in Badass Buddha, somewhere in between indirect and direct, this indirect, direct, or situational game, where they're kind of open situationally, but the vibe is extremely sexual, and they certainly don't hide their dick because they escalate. So the message of this podcast is keeping that sexual tension and escalating. But how do you do it? There is the million-dollar question. Therein lies the secret to all of this, if you like. And the man who opened my eyes to the answer, and the only book that I recommend students read, because I know a lot of books on this are just avoidance and more mental masturbation, or plain and simple, wrong. The book that I give students is called Fearless, Relentless Escalation by a guy called 60 Years of Challenge. That's his handle, 60 Years of Challenge. It's an online PDF, so you can go and buy it. It's a series of 3 or 4 ebooks, but the best one is this one called Fearless, Relentless Escalation. You can read it in a couple of hours and it will blow your mind. And then hopefully a girl will blow something of yours. Because it's all about the fact, yep, that it's easier to get laid if you do the fast road rather than the slow road. But this fast escalation has to be calibrated and under the radar. So it's this indirect, direct thing that he's talking about. Using unwavering, unapologetic escalation by keeping that sexual tension on the fishing line. So a key part of what he talks about is maintaining the sexual frame, all right? Not falling into the old habits of nice guy social frame. So seeing girls around you, as you walk around and you're shopping and you're in the cafe and you're on a date, certainly, you're looking at her with sexual intent. You're not a social, friendly, gay best friend, gay beater kind of guy, yeah? So you can practice this all day. Walk around having sexual thoughts about the girls that you see. And that is a core psychological difference between, you could say, the beta and the alpha. Someone who walks around looking at girls as sexual opportunities instead of looking at girls as china vases who have to be won over or impressed. Just that one shift in mindset alone can get you laid if you connect with that animal instinct inside you, yeah? And I always say, we're trying to simplify this game. We're trying to strip away layers, not add things on. We are trying to take away all the barriers that have built up as our brains evolved and connect with that core animal brain, that inner brain, the third brain, a neurologist would call it, the brain that's involved with foraging, fighting, and fucking. Another big message that 60 talks about is that girls are always going to rebuff your first attempts. And Alan Modricori talks about this as well. So you start the escalation process, largely non-verbally, but there's a bit of verbals as well. In Badass Buddha, I call those the spikes. You start this process expecting her to do the mock indignation, to tell you to stop, to kind of push you away, to challenge what you're doing, to give you last minute resistance, to say that you're a jerk. But when she's saying this, she's grinning. When she's saying this, she's not running away. She's slapping you back. And like in the YouTube video I put out on jock game, parody brute game, parody jackass game, obviously there's another health warning in that if a girl is really saying no and she's pushing you away and she's leaving or going to leave, then that does mean no. But you should know that. You should be calibrated enough to know when no means no from a girl. But lots of times when you start physically escalating, and the book goes through his steps and Badass Buddha goes through my steps, on the first try, the girl says no, but you keep doing it. You're bold, yeah? Escalation is bold, and therefore it's very attractive. And his big message to me, the thing that I really picked up and that now I pass on to students, is that, yep, less is more. So do less. Don't tell the jokes, all right? Don't fidget. Don't react. Don't laugh. Don't supplicate. Don't talk. Keep that silence. Keep that sexy silence. And don't let her off the hook. You can look at her with those seductive eyes. You can punish her. You can be unapologetic. So even though you're doing less verbally, which is why I like this book, it kind of goes against Alan Modricori in that sense, because you're not so direct verbally, but more is more physically. So if less is more verbally, more is more physically, because nothing, he says, is as attractive as physically escalating or escalating the vibe leading and pulling it home. And I would agree. It's horrible to do. It feels uncomfortable. Sexual tension always does, because you are risking being creepy. And for a nice guy like me, for a nice guy like you, when you start to escalate, you always have those butterflies in your stomach. You always feel slightly like, I could lose it. And it's precisely at that moment that you should escalate. You should do the opposite of what your stomach is telling you to do. And another truth, I was talking to this on Skype with a student last night. Another truth about this is that you might be able to do it on sixes and sevens, but the minute that a girl is an eight or a nine, you slip into that psychological belief that, oh, she's different. You know, I have to do the long game or the girlfriend route kind of game because she's not sexual, you know. She says she doesn't drink alcohol. She says she's religious. Therefore, she's not one of those girls. She would never do that. And guys make the mistake of listening to what a girl says instead of listening to her actions. That's a classic beta phenomenon. And I can understand why it's confusing for so many men. Because if you logically listen to what a girl says, you're going to be very confused. And that's going to lead to bitterness, because she says one thing, but she does another thing with her body. So always listen to her body. Watch her reactions to how you escalate. And the thing that I teach in the daytime, certainly on the street, here's something you can implement. I've said it before in a video. When you introduce yourself on the street, you say, "Hi, my name's Tom." After you've done a bit of the old direct waffle, you hold her hand, and instead of shaking it and then pulling away, you keep her hand in your hand and you let her pull away. And you combine that with a cheeky smile and deep eye contact. And that's a spike. That's a physical spike. It immediately sexualizes the interaction. And as 60 would like, it filters the girl. Because the one thing about 60 years of challenge is that he doesn't like opening. He just likes screening, which is kind of like what good looking guy game is, where you're just mass filtering for girls that are already like you. Whereas I always preach that the game is played with the maybe girls, yeah? That's the skill in not getting a yes girl. Mystery calls that fool's mate. But getting a girl who's obviously hotter than you, younger than you, and who initially was a bit suspicious of you. That's real tight game. That's really good game. And I like opening because it's my therapy, as I've said many times. Getting past that anxiety and the fear, and the girl is your mirror, that's all cool. So I do like opening. I like the pain. That's sadomasochistic. But yeah, you are filtering if you're going to be doing fast escalation. You are filtering for girls that are up for it, girls that are ovulating, girls that are switched on to this secret society vibe. And in her whole life, a girl might only do this once or twice. I think some guys assume that girls are just as horny as men, and they're doing this all the time. When they hear about the secret society, they think, wow, girls are doing this all the time, every day with alpha guys. But really, a girl might only do this a few times in her whole life. But she'll still do it. And I've slept with girls who have been very religious, like I said, or been virgins, or have been very sensible university students. Girls who've only dated guys before, they've never done one-night stands. And just by physically escalating and leading and keeping sexual tension, they end up doing things that baffle them. They can't believe that it happened. They enjoyed it. I was their little indiscretion. There's that audio of me pulling that French girl who's got a boyfriend back in France. And that's the day two lay on YouTube. It's called Bar to Bedroom, where you hear the whole thing. And just by me holding her hand and taking her through the steps, because remember, guys always have to do that. We have to lead. She might want to do it, but very few girls actually instigate that. But by me doing it, she really enjoyed it. I might be the only guy she ever does that with. She had a little lover adventure, and it was win-win. She had fun. I had fun. It was win-win-win, because it was on YouTube, and hopefully you learned from it. So I'm a fan of fast escalation, certainly at the moment, because I'm in Moscow, where dating is fine and number collecting is fine, but the temptation is just to go on a lot of long, slow dates, because the girls do give you a lot of LMR and resistance and say that they're not into this kind of thing. But on the past 3 dates, I've, after rereading actually the 60 Years of Challenge stuff, I just thought, fuck it, let's just play around. Let's push my comfort zone. Let's get on a faster motorbike and lean into the edge. Because when you've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dates, it does get a bit boring and repetitive. So 3 times in the last week, I've been on a date and very quickly I've gone and sat next to her. I've skipped lots of the old dating model steps. I've sat next to her. I've escalated the vibe with my hands, touching her, looking in her eyes, verbally spiking, getting resistance from her. I keep going. I invite her back. I get more resistance. I keep going. I keep going. I push it. And yeah, it might not always be successful, but the fact is that I grew in my skill level, and it will work. Not on all girls, but it will work. And it's better for you because there's no growth in comfort, as the cheesy motivational quote says. So I've got to lean into my edge, and I can't slip back into those nice guy tendencies. And the problem with day game and dating, as I always say, as opposed to night game, is that it can make you too nice, too slow, too conversational, and have these limiting beliefs about how sexual girls are and what they will do. The good example is when a student's talking to a girl and suddenly she says, oh, just to let you know, I have a boyfriend. And you see the colour drain from that man's face and his tail's between his legs, and he says, bye-bye, and he shuffles off, and he comes back to me and he says, well, she liked it, but she had a boyfriend. Now, that reveals that you haven't fully accepted the truth of the secret society. And it's a hard truth. It's a bitter truth to swallow, that girls with the right man leading them through these fast escalation steps will transgress. They will upgrade temporarily, if you like. That's what scientists call hypergamy, women's dual mating strategy of the alpha fucks, beta bucks that I've talked about many times. Check out my video on lover versus provider or sexual marketplace with Nick. And the inspiration for this podcast is for you to try it too. So what I said to the student last night was, try it on some girls that you don't really care about. That sounds harsh, but go on a few dates with girls that are quote unquote beneath you, hopefully, so you can get them beneath you. And remember, you can do the kind of good looking guy game approach of dating girls who are less good looking than you to try this stuff on. So if you're a male 8, try and pull a 7 using fast escalation. Or if you're a male 7, try pulling a 6 using fast escalation. If you're a male 10 like me, then yeah, sure, go for a 9. If you're confident, then go for girls that are hotter than you, because that's the definition of game. So if you're a male 6, try and pull a 7 with fast escalation. If you're a male 7, try and pull an 8 with fast escalation. And remember the definition of game. They've got to be hotter than you and younger than you, and they can't just jump your bones, because that's a yes girl. And I'll leave it there. Maybe go out today or tomorrow without your mobile phone, and with the sole purpose, the sole aim of either pulling a girl back to your house via an instant date, or something I tell students to do, just go out and say, right, today I'm going to kiss a girl on the street. It's not good game, because it does lead to flakes. It's kind of show-off game, but it's really good for the nice guy to push his limits. And I'll leave it there, reminding you that Badass Buddha is for sale once again, my 6-hour dating seminar where I talk a lot more about all the topics you've just heard. It's available to buy right now by clicking the link below. Have a good week. Speak to you soon. Ta-da.